start climbing, you start about 5,000 feet elevation. You have to have a guide, and the shortest range, because of the elevation and the oxygen depreciation and all that, and not having the proper oxygen, 6 days is the shortest. 10 days is about average, 8 to 10, but I chose 6 because it was cheaper. And so my son and I, we got to do it, and we had a guide. And so our guide would start off, we're heading going up the mountain, and he would say, "Pole, pole." That's Swahili for slowly, slowly. You had to pace yourself. But we had to follow the guide along the path, because you would go up the mountain and then you would come back down. So let's say you go up to 13,000 feet, but you might camp at 11,000 feet because it's getting your body used to the oxygen levels. And then you would go up to 15 and maybe come back down to 13.5 and stay overnight at 13.5 and so on and so forth. So if we didn't have the guide, we really would be lost on where to go and how to acclimate our bodies for this intense hike. In fact, every year there are people that die on the mountain. There's one particular couple that my pediatrician, our family's pediatrician, told us about. He's done the same hike. He let us borrow some of his things, and he climbed it and summited. He said, but while he was on the mountain, there were two people that had headaches, and they went into their tent to take a nap, and they didn't wake back up. It really is devastating, but perhaps there are ones that have tried to do it on their own, and they've come out to the same outcome of death itself. You know, there is a path that leads to life and the revived life, and there's a path that leads to the flesh and of defeat and spiritual deadness. We must walk in the Spirit to experience a life that God intends for us. What does it mean to walk in the Spirit, and how can we do so? As we look at the passage of Scripture tonight, we're going to see, first of all, two steps. Secondly, two directions, and then two results. First of all, there are two steps that we need to take in walking. Two steps, if you will. Look, if you would, at Galatians chapter 5 and find verse 16. Galatians 5 and verse 16. The Bible says this, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." The word walk is also found in verse 25. If we live in the Spirit, Galatians 5, 25, let us also walk in the Spirit. These are actually two different words that help us understand the walking in the Spirit and what it should be like. So let's look at the first one, Galatians 5:16. It says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." I believe this first step in all walking is a series of steps, is it not? It's reiterated steps. If I'm going to walk from this side of the platform over to that side of the platform, I'm going to take a step. Well, I've got to, with my opposite foot, take another step. So there are reiterated steps. I believe these two steps that Galatians 5:16 and verse 25 point out is going to be a step and then another step, and they're going to be reiterated or duplicated multiple times as we grow as a Christian. What are they? In Galatians 5:16, I believe it is first a step of faith. I believe it is a step of faith. The step of faith to do what? A step of faith depending upon the Spirit's power to overcome the flesh. It is a step of faith depending upon the Spirit's power to overcome the flesh. Notice it says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye might not." No. "And you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." So this first step that we need to take is the step of faith. By the way, the first step that anyone needs to take in the matter of their Christian life is the step of faith to trust Jesus Christ as Savior. How is anyone saved and have eternal life and going to heaven? We asked earlier, do you know for sure you're going to heaven? Some people say, well, I think so. I hope so. We can't figure out until we get to heaven. No, you can know according to the Scripture. The Bible says this, "For by grace are ye saved," that is saved or rescued from your sins through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. It is a decision of faith. The very first step that you need to take in order to begin the Christian walk is a step of faith, and it's a step of faith upon Jesus Christ. You're in Galatians 5. Look at Galatians 2, and find verse 16. Galatians 2:16. It now helps us understand how to be saved or justified before God and declared righteous so we can have our sins forgiven. Galatians 2:16, do you have it? It says this: knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. So what is it saying here? There's only one way in order to be justified before God, clean and righteous, forgiven of our sins, so we can have entry into heaven and have eternal life there forever and ever. What is the only way? Faith in Jesus Christ. There is no other way. By the way, every religion, every thinking, it's either in two categories. Faith alone in Jesus Christ, by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. Jesus himself, he's the only one that can save us. Or the other category is works. You say, no, Brother Miller. No. There's a lot more to it. All of it boils down to that. Either faith, salvation by grace, through faith in Jesus Christ. I'm trusting Jesus alone to be my Savior, or its works. Well, what about this religion? You name the denomination, or you name the other type of religion. Maybe it's multiple gods. Maybe it doesn't even mention Jesus Christ. Maybe it's whatever. It's all works. All of it. And the Bible says this, that no flesh, no person, not one man, not one lady will ever be justified before God by doing good things, by doing good deeds. There shall no flesh be justified by doing those works of the law. Well, what if I've done bad things, so if I do good things, will that get me to heaven? No, it will not. It's very clear. Salvation is faith alone in Jesus Christ alone, and that's the decision that you need to make. Have you heard that the first step you need to take is to trust Jesus Christ? As a Christian, if you made that decision, can you say amen? Amen. That's wonderful to be able to say that and rejoice with that. I know that I'm saved. That's great. You've trusted Christ. Okay, now as we continue to take steps in our Christian life, we continue to take steps of faith. I'm already saved. I've already believed on Jesus to be my Savior, but now I'm depending upon the Holy Spirit who indwells me to now overcome the flesh. The flesh is that part that gives me the temptation. The flesh has the appetite to do things that are out of God's realm or out of God's timing or whatever the scriptures would give us for boundaries. And it gives me the temptation to sin. But I can overcome the flesh when I depend upon the Spirit of God by faith. How many here have ever walked on water? Not frozen water. I was catching you there. Would it surprise you if I say, my son Jonathan has walked on water? You'd be kind of hesitant. Just a second. I have to say, he has indeed walked on water. Was he scared and just running fast? No. So we were at a state park at a family reunion, and we typically go to a state park, and they typically have lakes, and they rent boats. And they typically have those paddle boats, you know, the ones that you pedal with your feet. These pedal, I don't know if I'm saying the right type of boat, but it's the ones when you pedal that goes, and you steer with a little stick in the middle, and you pedal faster, and it goes no faster. I hate those boats, but I rent them every time. Dad, can we do it? Sure. I'm like, why did I do this again? And so here we are. We're in a boat. Another family member is another paddle boat, another one. So we had three of them out there. We had one right here. And they said, hey, come here. And we got up close, and then we connected the two boats. And they said, hey, come here, get the third one. And so we're doing out there having fun. We're doing things like this, you know, kind of going like this and around in a circle and stuff like that. Well, we're all the way over on this side. And my son Jonathan says, hey, Dad, can I go over there to my cousin and get in his boat? Well, I said, sure, he can swim, and it's okay. And Sure. So he stands up on the boat. He takes a couple steps. He gets to the place where it's a division between the two boats. It's a little gap. He takes a step across the gap onto the middle boat. Takes a couple more steps. Then gets to the division where the third boat is. Crosses that gap. And he gets onto the third boat and he sits down over here. My son Jonathan walked on water. You say, no, Brother Miller. He walked on the boats that walked on water. Yes, that's the whole point. You say, wait a minute, that's not fair. There's no other way for him to not sink. He had to walk on the boats. Yes, the only way for us to overcome the flesh, the only way is to take the step of faith. Dear God, I'm trusting you, the Holy Spirit of God. And as I walk in the Spirit by faith, he gives me the power to overcome the flesh. If my son Jonathan would have kept going on the third boat and kept, hey, I got this. I'm walking on water. Kaploosh. He would have just sunk right down. He couldn't do it on his own. That's why the Holy Spirit is inside of us. And the Lord says to take the step of faith. But the step of faith is also coupled with a second step. What is that? Look, if you would, at Galatians 5, verse 25. Galatians 5 and find verse 25. The Bible says this, if we live in the Spirit, I think it would be meaning, since we have life in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. What is this? Okay, now this is interesting. The verse 16, which says walk, is just the word walk. You can walk in a circle, you can walk in a figure eight, you can walk curving. You just walk, just take steps. But the walk in verse 25 is more specific. It means to step in line or to march is the idea. Is you take a step and you stay in step, in line, and you march. It's like a soldier being trained by his drill instructor or sergeant, and he's told, forward, march, and then he marches. My son, Caleb, our oldest, who's married, is in the Army. And he just completed airborne school where he jumped out of a plane 5 times. I said, how'd it go? He said, I had 4 good jumps. I said, okay, well, I'm talking to him, so the 5th one must have at least been somewhat successful. And but anyway, well, he's there, and he, you know, they get him up at oh dark early or whatever it is they say, right? And they say, hey, get out here, everyone in formation. All right. We're marching. March. Oh, Sarge, it's really dark and I'm tired. You know, is that what they say? No. It's yes, sir. Step. And when you take a step, you have to take a step in line. We watch the graduations all online, of course, and they're marching in place and they're keeping perfect rhythm. And they're doing their cadences, and they're kind of funny. And they're going, and they're marching, and then they all stop at the same time. What are they doing? The drill instructor is providing leadership. You walk, you step when I tell you to step, and you stay in line. March. What is this decision for us? I believe this decision, this step, is a step of surrender. It's a step of surrender. What are we doing when we surrender? It is this. We are yielding to the Spirit of God, His leadership to guide us each day. Think of it this way. I have the Holy Spirit inside of me, but this isn't a perfect illustration. But imagine that the Holy Spirit's one step ahead. Here you are, and here the Holy Spirit is. You know how the Holy Spirit directs us and guides us? He leads us. Doesn't push us. He says, follow me. Well, if you're going to march and stay in step, when the Holy Spirit steps, I better step. I'm right behind him. He steps, okay, I'm going to step. And he says, okay, follow me, go this direction. Turn right, turn left, turn right, about face. Okay, march faster pace, double time. When he speaks, I yield to his direction. The 2 steps in walking in the Spirit are First of all, the step of faith, depending upon the Spirit to overcome the flesh. Secondly, is the step of surrender, yielding to the Holy Spirit to guide us. Let me ask, are you allowing the Holy Spirit to guide you on a daily basis? Amen. By the way, He's talking to you every day. Every day. You go to the Genesis all the way to Revelation. It is constantly God revealing Himself and communicating to us. It's not audibly, Chris Miller, turn right here. Come over here. Give this person a track. No, it's not audible, but He's speaking to my spirit. He's leading me if I'm listening. You know, the voice of God was in the Garden of Eden, and they were able to walk with the voice of God. Adam and Eve knew fellowship, and they could hear God's voice audibly to them. Revelation, it says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice. You know what God is doing? The Holy Spirit is speaking to you every single day. So are you listening? Do you have the radio cranked too loud? You have the business of the day crowding out His voice? Are you yielding to the flesh instead of the Spirit? Would you say, dear God, I need to listen to the Spirit of God? Are you taking steps of faith and steps of surrender? Not only do we see in this passage two steps, but because of the two steps, we're going to go in two directions. What are two directions? Notice, if you will, Galatians chapter 5 and find verse 17. It says, for the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to another, so that ye cannot do the things that you would. What are the two directions? Okay, here's the point. Here it is. At any point in my day, I am either walking in the Spirit or I'm walking in the flesh. There's only two directions. Notice in verse 17, what's the third option besides the Spirit and the flesh? There is none. God created us spirit, soul, and body. If you've trusted Jesus Christ as Savior, the Holy Spirit dwells in the human spirit of man, like we went through in the Sunday school hour and illustrated that. As you are now a person that has the Holy Spirit inside of you, the Holy Spirit's kind of trying to direct you. Your soul is where your will is. Am I going to walk in the Spirit, or am I going to walk in the flesh? Will I walk this direction today, or will I walk that direction today? When I walk in the Spirit, I'm going this way, opposite of the flesh. When I am walking in the flesh, I'm going this way. You see, what happens is this, is God, the Spirit, He wants to change us and from the inside out and to be able to guide us and direct us and lead us. But there's two different directions going on. And there's Satan that wants to change us from the outside and get us to go one direction. The flesh and the Spirit are they're contrary. But look, at any point of the day, I am either walking in the flesh or I'm walking in the Spirit. Okay, there's never this neutral. And when I realized that, it absolutely convicted me, but it helped me so much. In the Sunday school hour, I recalled a day that I was grumpy. I interacted with people in a way where I didn't think I was in the wrong, but afterwards the Holy Spirit obviously showed me I was. I had the wrong temperament. I had the wrong disposition. I was getting irritated and frustrated, and I thought I was doing well. I was in the right. And I look back and I see, you know what? I was in the flesh. That time, where was my time with the Lord that day? Did I yield to the Spirit of God? Look, if we just start our day, we could even read the Word of God. We could even read a devotional. But we have to make a conscious decision to do what? I'm going to trust the Spirit of God, and I'm going to yield to the Spirit of God. Dear God, I'm walking in the Spirit today. If you do not make the conscious decision, let me tell you, by default, your natural state is not the Spirit. So if you do not consciously yield to the Spirit of God, what are you by default going to do? You're going to walk in the flesh. There's not a neutral. Well, were you walking in the flesh? Well, no, not really. Can't say that. Well, were you walking in the Spirit and filled with the Spirit? Well, I can't honestly say that either. There's not a third option, folks. It's either I'm going this direction or I'm going that direction. Whenever I hike different places, like I like to hike the Grand Canyon, and Havasu Pai is one place where we go down to where Indian tribe is. Only the Havasu people can be down there. Havasu Pai means people of the blue-green water. Beautiful turquoise water, literally, and waterfalls. Excellent. Best on the planet. And you're walking down. As you're walking down, no one asks the people walking up, where you're going. There's only one destination. You're going to get in your car at the mountaintop, and you're leaving. If you're walking up and you're getting out of the hole, no one's asking all the way down where you're going. Or you're not asking the people going down, where are you going? You're going down to the falls in the bottom of the canyon. That's where you're headed. It's one or the other. Think of it this way. Do you know those tricycles for adults, those big ones? And, you know, all the retirement communities have them down in Florida. They like to ride them around. They're pretty dangerous. You got to watch those people. And I got my dad on one. My dad is turning 90 this year. And so we got him on there. And I said, how you feeling, Dad? Doing pretty well. And he's riding and such. Imagine with me one of those tricycles without brakes. Okay, imagine you're going up a hill. So you're not going to lose your balance because it's a tricycle. You just keep your feet on the pedals. You're not allowed to touch the ground. No brakes. If you continue to pedal, you're going to continue to go up the hill. But without brakes, if you stop pedaling, what will happen? You will naturally slide backwards. Folks, as we're walking in the Spirit, we're continuing to grow. We're continuing to get closer to the Lord. We're going up that hill. But when we are not consciously yielding and dependent upon the Spirit of God, we're walking in the flesh and we're going downhill, and some of us full speed. Let me ask, are you going a direction that you shouldn't be tonight? It's not by accident that you're here. So you can hear, you know what? I need to stop right now, because eventually, if I keep going in this direction, there's going to be major consequences that I cannot undo. Sin in the flesh is not nice to you, and it will eat up your life. Would you hear tonight, listen, to say, if you're going the wrong direction, you say, I'm going to get that taken care of. There's two steps, steps of faith and steps of surrender. There's two directions. Either I'm walking in the Spirit or I'm walking in the flesh. I'm either going one or the other. But then finally, there's two results. There's two results. As we look at the passage of Scripture, notice again the contrary and the fight between these two. Notice, if you will, verse 17. It says, for the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary one to another. So they're never friendly. They never get along. The Spirit wants to do what's right, and the flesh wants to do what's wrong, and they're always at battle. And here's how we perceive it. We perceive the flesh as this massive power and temptation that's so hard and so difficult. And here's the Spirit of God. Here's the Spirit. But boy, it's hard to say no to that. You realize this, that's not the case. But when you walk in the flesh, what happens? When you walk in the flesh, you render the power of the Holy Spirit powerless. You render the Holy Spirit Himself powerless. When I'm walking in the flesh, I'm going this direction. I'm going in the flesh. Then the power of the Holy Spirit is ineffective in my life. You grieve the Holy Spirit when you sin. You quench the Holy Spirit when you tell Him no. You treat the Holy Spirit as if He's not a person, nor the person of God who indwells you. Are you rightly related to the Spirit of God? This week, we're not going to have revival until we are. Are you rightly related to the Holy Spirit of God? But if I'm going to go the way of the flesh, the flesh seems so big. It seems so hard. And when you're in the heat of the temptation or the emotion of it, it seems so large. And at that point, when you're walking and you're indulging in the flesh or just obeying the flesh and deciding to do what is wrong, what are you doing? You're rendering the Holy Spirit powerless in your life, even though He could do everything to change you. He's waiting for you to do what? To take a step of faith and take a step of surrender. But we're rendering Him powerless. There's one particular time I remember I was in a temptation and I had the sense or the emotion that this is very intense. In fact, I had a dark thought across my mind saying, anybody faced with this temptation would yield to it. You know what? That's not true. That was a lie from Satan. But it felt so intense. It felt so strong. And I said, anybody who got this temptation, oh, they would yield to it. And then I said, dear God, I remember James 4, but He giveth more grace. I said, God, I need more grace right now. And in an instant, the emotion was gone. I had relief. And at that very instant, what was I doing? I was trusting the Spirit to do what I can. I was like, help, Lord. This temptation is too strong. It feels so strong. And it was rendering the power of the Spirit helpless. But as soon as that I made that decision and surrendered to Him and depended upon Him, the temptation was gone. And I chose victory. And the Holy Spirit gave that victory to me. You see, it's not this size. It is truly not that the Spirit is smaller than the flesh. And it's not even that they're same size. You know, sometimes there's been illustrations used about the Holy Spirit and our flesh and the battle between the two, and kind of like two dogs that are fighting each other is an old illustration. I have a dog, and our dog is a miniature Dachshund and maybe 10 pounds. Let's say my dog goes against your Rottweiler. Your Rottweiler would have a snack and want more, is what would happen. There would be no competition. Look, it's not that they're equal. It is truly that the Spirit of God is more powerful, and we need to recognize that. The Holy Spirit is so much more powerful. But when we walk in the Spirit, what do we do? When we walk in the Spirit, we now render the flesh powerless. It's the opposite. And when we do so, we now see the Spirit truly as He is, powerful and always more powerful than the flesh. Never is there a temptation where the Holy Spirit's not more powerful than the flesh. He is always. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to allow you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation make a way of escape. There is always a way of escape, and there's always a way to overcome the temptation through the power of the Spirit. So let me ask, are you fulfilling the works of the flesh? Are you truly trusting the power of the Spirit? Two results. You know what the works of the flesh are? It starts out with some that sound, man, this is really amazing. It starts out so powerful, so wicked. Verse 19 says, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these, adultery, fornication. Look, the body and the appetites of the body and the flesh wants to do what's wrong. A Christian is capable of these wicked works of the flesh and these sinful activities. Perhaps there hasn't been the physical, not yet, but if there's been the mental, you're on the path to do the physical. And Jesus said, you've heard of them said in old time, thou shalt not commit adultery, but I say unto you that whosoever looketh on the woman to lust. Did you hear that? Not looks on a woman and lusts, but looketh on a woman to lust. You look with the intent to lust. At that point, he says, you're just as guilty as committing the activity physically, but you've done it in your heart. You do it enough in your heart, and it will happen physically. And there are marriages that are crumbling because the flesh and lust is not under control. Would you recognize this fornication, this adultery, is things that are there that are real? Can you have victory over your filthy thoughts? Can you have victory over perversion and perverted images and all of the habits and sexual habits that come with that? Yes, you can. And tonight you can recognize this. I don't have to yield to the flesh. I don't have to yield to that temptation. The Holy Spirit is more powerful. I'm going to go His direction. He is always more powerful. He's more powerful than any idol. He is more powerful than anything. Look, if you would, it continues this idea. It says adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. That means a license to sin, just doing whatever. Verse 20, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, so many things. Variance is the idea of a contentious or causing strife, argumentative spirit. Is your family a sweet spirit? Is your marriage one of soft talking and tender kindness and towards each other? Or is there strife and they're argumentative? Pride's the root of it every time, Proverbs 13:10. Emulations is jealousy. Is when jealousy comes in and you're jealous because someone else is better at music or better looks or better position or better abilities. Perhaps you would have wrath, this idea of losing your temper, wrath, flying off the handle. Are you easily irritated? The emotions fly. Do you lose a sense of control? There's seditions and heresies and envyings and murders and drunkenness and such like. It just keeps on going. The list could keep going. Look, if you are dominated by the flesh, you're rendering the Holy Spirit powerless. But He's always more powerful. So just say, dear God, I need more grace. Lord, help. And I'm going to trust You. And when you take this step of faith, take this step of surrender, then you realize, when I'm walking in the Spirit, the flesh has no dominance over me. I had a friend who was a preacher friend. He's now in heaven. And he said, hey, Brother Miller, I got a verse, and it's just so powerful. I said, well, what is it? And it's just life-changing. It really helped me in getting victory over sin and seeing the Spirit-filled life. Well, what is it? He said, it's Galatians 5:16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. I said his name. I said, I've seen that verse 100 times. He said, yeah, but are you listening? Walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. It was like a light bulb for him, aha moment of, I can have victory over anything of the flesh, and I can have it right now as long as I walk in the Spirit. When I walk in the Spirit, then I have the love, the fruit of the Spirit. Look, if you would, at verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Let me ask, is the fruit of the Spirit, it's singular because I believe there's one source and there's one main fruit, which is love, and all the others come from that. Is this true in your life? Are these fruit evident? If you went to a fruit tree, we brought some oranges up from Florida that we were just in Florida a couple weeks ago. And I brought some oranges to my sibling, and I said, hey, here's some Florida oranges. When you go to an orange tree, you can tell it's an orange tree by the fruit. Look, people can tell when you're walking in the Spirit by the fruit that you're bearing. Do you have the fruit of the Spirit? Mentions meekness, mentions temperance, mentions long-suffering. You know what long-suffering is? It's the opposite of short-suffering. When you have that wrath and that quick, irritated spirit, or flying off the handle and emotional outbursts, you're saying, okay, there's meekness, there's control, I'm temperate, I'm self-disciplined, Spirit-controlled self-control, and I'm walking in the Spirit. Let me ask tonight, would you say, dear God, I am willing to walk the direction and to see the results that You want me to see? It takes two steps, a step of faith to depend upon the Spirit to overcome the flesh, and a step of surrender, yielding to the Spirit to him and his guidance to you. Let me ask before we conclude and have the invitation as well, have you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior? Have you made that first step? Or you say, no, I've been a good person. I've tried really hard. The only two options, two categories, is either you try it and it's by works, good deeds, but it will fail. No flesh has ever been justified. No person has ever been justified before God by doing good deeds. Only by the faith of Jesus Christ, that is faith in believing in Jesus or on Jesus alone, will you trust Jesus Christ as Savior, and let us help you in making that decision. Let us walk in the Spirit tonight. Father, I ask for your help and guidance. Would you please help us right now? And Lord, do your work in our lives and help us to respond to you obediently. And God, I pray, would you help us just now to yield to you and not put you off? I ask that you'd bless in this invitation. Who here would say, Brother Miller, there's one thing I know for sure, and it's this. I have trusted Jesus Christ. My faith is in Jesus Christ, not my works. If you are trusting Jesus to take you to heaven and to give you eternal life, if that's true for you, can you raise your hand? I know that. That's great. That's wonderful. You can place your hand down. Now, if you couldn't raise your hand, that's okay. But I'd like to talk to you sometime later, but I'd love to pray for you just now and just encourage you. If you, just a moment, here's what I'd like to do. I'm going to ask a next question. And if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, you're not trusting Him, you always thought it was being good, trying hard, being a good person, and you're willing to allow me to pray for you, in just a moment, I'm going to ask for you to raise your hand, and right where you're seated, I'll pray for you. I won't embarrass you. I won't call you out by name. We're not going to ask you to do something where you say something in front of the group, anything like that, but I will simply pray for you and encourage you to make the decision. If you're here, you say, Preacher, I've never trusted Jesus as my Savior. I thought it was being good. But would you pray for me? Because I do want to go to heaven when I die. Would you pray for me? I am not sure if I died, if I would definitely go to heaven. If that's true for you, would you let me pray for you right where you are? By raising your hand. If you're here and you don't know for sure that if you died, you're on your way to heaven, would you slip your hand up high enough where I could see it? And I'd love to pray for you as an individual, as a family, or as a couple, or whatever. It's okay, but would you pray for me? I don't know that my sins are forgiven. Anyone like that? I'd like to pray for you. God knows your name. I may not, but God certainly does. I'd like to pray for you. Anyone like that? Just really quickly, would you pray for me? Anyone, would you slip your hand up and I would pray for you? Okay, let me ask next. Who here would say, Brother Miller, I know I'm saved. So these next questions are for you. But I'm not experiencing the victory like I ought to, overcoming the flesh. And God's spoken to me about taking steps of faith, depend upon the Spirit, and have the result to overcome the flesh each time that I do. God's spoken to me about overcoming the flesh and taking steps of faith. If that's true, can you raise your hand? Say, that's me. God bless you. Wonderful. Praise the Lord. That's great. You can place your hands down. Let me ask next, who here would say, Brother Miller, I'm saved. I know that. But God's spoken to me about taking steps of surrender, listening to His voice, and yielding to His guidance and His leadership. And I haven't been listening like I should. I haven't been obeying and surrendering like I should. I haven't been what I ought to in that. God's spoken to me in this way. If that's true for you, can you slip your hand up even right now? God bless you. All the way in the back and on both sides, and I praise the Lord for that. God bless you. Wonderful. Would you look this way? Everyone can look right here. In just a moment, we're going to stand, and I'll pray, and then after I pray, we'll have the pianist play. God's spoken in your heart. Would you find a place to pray? And if you don't know that your sins are forgiven, if you're not sure that you're saved, would you do this if you're interested and you like to ask questions? We will have pastors and counselors at the front. And if you'd like to, you could step out and just come to one of the pastors, one of the counselors, and say, I'd like to know for sure I'm going to heaven. Or I want to know how to trust Jesus to be my Savior. Anything like that. and they'll be able to help you in a side location and explain it so you can make that decision as well. Would you do it tonight? That'd be great if you would. Let's stand and just pray right now. Father, I ask for your help. Would you please give it? Help us to respond to you, Lord, I pray, obediently and tenderly. And Lord, I pray you'd help us to overcome the flesh and to walk in the Spirit. Lord, I pray for each one that raised their hand about taking steps of faith. Lord, I pray you help them to experience tremendous and great victory overcoming the flesh this week. Lord, I pray that you'd help ones that raise their hand about surrendering and listening to your voice and yielding to your guidance. I pray you'd help them as well in following you. Lord, I pray, help us to be responsive and obedient to you. Lord, I pray those here that have not and could not raise their hand, that they're saved or that they know they're on their way to heaven, help them to get answers to all their questions. I pray this in Jesus' name. With our heads bowed, our eyes closed.